Thank you. So I would like to thank the organizers who prophetically organized this conference in the virtual or semi-virtual format well before the onset of pandemic. I will speak about the work of Ilya Domansky and Evgeny Feigin about the algebraic description of some global sections of land bundles and Schubert varieties. So probably it will be the most elementary talk at this conference. And the first half, anyway, will be a survey of well-known results. Let's start with the most classical setup. So we'll have a complex simple Lie algebra and the corresponding Lie group, the simply connected form. Then we'll use its flag variety and Schubert varieties and finite dimensional simple modules. So we'll study de Mazur modules. What are they? We'll take an extremal vector in this simple G module and consider the Borel submodule generated by this vector. So for example, if this is the highest vector, then it will be just one dimensional Borel submodule. And if this is the lowest vector, it will be the whole irreducible G model restricted to the Borel subalgebra. Now, geometrically, the irreducible representation itself is realized by Borel-Weyl theorem as dual to the global sections of some dominant line bundle on the flag variety. And the de Mazur model is realized as dual to the sections of the same line bundle on the corresponding Schubert variety. It was described by Tony Joseph explicitly as a cyclic module over universal elliptic algebra of Borel given by certain relations. Three types of relations. The first one is very evident, just the kernel of the character from the Cartan subalgebra. And then this generating vector is killed by the positive root vectors such that W inverse of this root stays positive. And if it stays, if it becomes negative, then it is killed by an appropriate power of this root vector. For example, if our W is the longest element, so we generate our de Mazur module from the lowest weight vector, then this is the usual Harish-Chandra relations for the model as the model over n plus. Okay, then Olivier Mathieu noticed that the same description holds true for arbitrary Katz-Moody Lie algebra, only we have to be a little bit more careful with the second portion of relations, just because there are some multiplicities of positive vectors. We will be most interested in the case of affine Lie algebras, so the extensions, central extensions, and the energy operator extension of the loop algebra. We will consider de Mazur module submodules in the integrable level one modules, most of all. These are dual to the global sections of the very ample determinant line bundle on the affine Grassmannian. More precisely, we will need, though our group G is simply connected, we will need now its adjoint group. And then the affine Grassmannian has a few connected components numbered by the co-weight lattice model or the co-root lattice. We will consider the sections over various connected components. They will give various integral models of level one. Now, the extremal weights of these models will be numbered by the orbit of the affine Weyl group, more precisely the extended affine Weyl group in this case. But this is a very irregular case, parabolic case, so that the highest weight vector has a big stabilizer, and so the orbit of this extended Weyl group is the quotient model of the finite Weyl group, and this is the co-weight lattice of the enjoint group. So note that while in the finite dimensional case, the de Mazur models were naturally numbered by the weights, the extremal weights, now they are naturally numbered by co-weights. And again, geometrically, they are just global sections of spherical affine Schubert varieties numbered by dominant co-weights. One special feature in this case is that there are models not only over the Ivahori positive subalgebra, but over the whole parabolic or parahoric current algebra. Okay, so if we still want to describe them in terms of weights as opposed to co-weights, then we will need to use certain map from co-weights to weights that corresponds to the level one, that is some minimal integral valued symmetric invariant bilinear form. So we'll view it as a map from a co-weight lattice to the weight lattice of the simply connected group. Otherwise, it will be rather rational. And in case our group is simply laced, then this is just the tautological bijection between co-weights of the adjoint form and weights of the simply connected form. Okay, so now if we want to describe the affine weight, say the lowest affine weight of the de Mazur module, then, well, it's a central component is one, it's of level one, but the finite component is obtained via this bijection. Namely, we take the lowest weight in the finite Weyl group orbit of this bijection, iota of lambda. And if we want the highest weight component, then its finite part is just zero if we are in the main connected component of the Grassmannian. In other words, if our co-weight actually lies in the core root lattice, or else it is the minuscule representative of iota of lambda if it's in some other connected component. Okay, we will also need some global counterpart of our de Mazur models. So de Mazur models are, in a sense, some local guys. And we'll need the global Weyl models. In fact, they are given by the very similar relations, only of the loop flavor. So the de Mazur models were given by relations written down in Katz-Moody setup, but the affine Lie algebra also has another loop presentation. And the Weyl model has relations in this loop presentation. So it's again the kernel of the same character, but then the augmentation ideal of the whole universal level algebra of currents into the whole positive subalgebra. And for the negative finite generators, you again have appropriate powers. In other words, this global Weyl module is just the maximal integrable quotient of the induced character. So you take the currents of nilpotent subalgebra, add the finite Cartan, take one-dimensional representation, induce it to the whole current algebra, and take the integrable quotient. Okay, now the relation between the local de Mazur models and global Weyl models is most explicit for the simply laced case and the fundamental highest weights or co-weights, they correspond under this iota bijection. Namely, the Weyl model is obtained just by spreading the de Mazur model over the affine line. So we take this local finite dimensional de Mazur model corresponding to the fundamental weight or co-weight, multiply it, tensor it with the polynomial algebra, and define the action of the current algebra just by Newton binomial formula, and we obtain the global Weyl model. Now, if we're interested in other weights, not necessarily fundamental weights, then there is a similar story. And to formulate it, I will need some analog of polynomial algebra we had on the previous slide. How does it arise? Just from the definition of the global Weyl module, it is acted upon by some very big commutative algebra, the universal envelopment algebra of Cartan, current algebra, just by carrying it through the generator. But in fact, for a given weight theta, the action of this big algebra of infinite functional dimension factors through a quotient of finite functional dimension, which depends on the highest weight theta. Namely, it's some partially symmetrized polynomial algebra. You expand the highest weight into sum of fundamental weights, and then I take the product of the corresponding symmetric powers of a fine line, and the functions on this product, in other words, on some configuration space, colored configuration space of a fine line, will act on the Weyl module. And the key result here, due to Littleman and Fourier, or maybe other mathematicians in some particular cases, says that this action is free. Okay, now let's consider again the case when G is simply laced and our highest weight theta arises from some highest co-weight. Then we can consider the colored configuration space for this co-weight. And the local de Mazur module is just the fiber of this global Weyl module at zero. So this is similar to the relation in the fundamental case we had in the previous slide. And again, there is a way to reconstruct the global Weyl models from local de Mazur models in this simply laced case. And it works as follows. We decompose our weight lambda into the sum of fundamentals once again. And then we consider again the spreadings of the corresponding fundamental de Mazur modules over the affine line. And then we take their cyclic product. So the cyclic product of two cyclic modules is a submodel of their tensor product generated by the product of cyclic vectors. If you wonder what is the cyclic vector of the de Mazur models spread out over the affine line, it is just the cyclic vector of the local de Mazur model tensor constant function one.
Misha?
Yes.
Why is it necessary? Is it necessary to have G simply laced in those theorems? What goes wrong?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I will tell later on what happens with the non-splaced case, but in the non-splaced case, you will not even be able to realize fundamental weights as images of any coweight at all. Right, so this iota map will be not surjective. It will not cover all the fundamental weights. Okay, so now we want to describe some geometric realization of these global Weyl modules. One realization was known for some time, namely, it is sort of semi-infinite Borel-Weil theorem. They are dual to global sections of some line bundles on the semi-infinite flag scheme of infinite type. But I will speak about some other new geometric realization as global sections of some finite dimensional schemes. They will be sort of Schubert varieties in Belin-Sondrinfeld-Grassmannian. So I will recall what is Belin-Sondrinfeld-Grassmannian. First of all, it depends on some a positive number k. And in case of k equals 1, it will be almost the usual affine Grassmannian. But for bigger k, you first specify a k-tuple of points in the affine line. You can do this for arbitrary curve, but for Weyl models, we'll need only the affine line. So you take a k-tuple of points, torsor over the adjoint group on the affine line, and its trivialization outside of these points. So if k equals 1, then the global coordinate t on the affine line gives rise to identification first Belin-Sondrinfeld-Grassmannian is just the direct product of the usual affine Grassmannian and the affine line. Now, the main property we'll need of the Belin-Sondrinfeld-Grassmannian is the factorization property that says that the fiber of this Belin-Sondrinfeld-Grassmannian over a divisor, which is disjoint union of two smaller divisors, is just the product of the corresponding fibers of smaller Belin-Sondrinfeld-Grassmannian. So in particular, it means that away from all diagonals, the fiber is canonically identified with the power, kth power of the affine Grassmannian. But then over the diagonal, for example, when all the points collide at zero, this is just the Grassmannian itself. So it looks, if somebody sees it for the first time, it looks as a contradiction, but it is true. And what happens is that Grassmannian is an ind variety, the union of Schubert varieties. And when you do it at the level of finite dimensional Schubert varieties, when they merge towards diagonal, the labels just add. So Ger lambda times Ger mu fuses into Ger lambda plus mu. Now we will also need the action of some group there. As on the usual affine Grassmannian, there is an action of the loop group or at least of the current group, the formal Taylor series with coefficients in G. This Belin-Sondrinfeld-Grassmannian is acted upon by a sheaf of groups, which behaves very similarly, so it factorizes. Namely, its fiber over the divisor without multiplicities is the kth power of the current group, and the fiber over diagonal is just the first power of the current group. And for formally, it's just the inverse limit of the quotients of polynomials over polynomials vanishing at these points to big degree. There is an obvious homomorphism from the polynomial group to this to the global sections of this completed group, just taking completion at the corresponding points. well, this is sort of embeddings of rationals into adults. Okay, so now we are ready to describe the global Schubert varieties in the Bellison-Driffield Grassmannian. So we take arbitrary dominant coweight, decompose it into the sum of fundamental coweights, and d is the total degree, the sum of all coordinates, and this is the number of points for the Bellison-Driffield Grassmannian. So when all these points are distinct, then we just take the direct product of the corresponding fundamental Schubert varieties, and then we just take the closure of this, so we fuse them over diagonals. And this is the closure of some orbit of our group in the generic fiber of the configuration space. Also, we'll need some partial symmetrization of this because we had d many points, but over them we had the products of fundamental Schubert varieties, and among them di were the same Schubert varieties, so that the renumbering of these points, the symmetric group acts there, and we can symmetrize with respect to this group and obtain this partially symmetrized Bellison-Driffield Grassmannian over the configuration space, the colored configuration space A lambda. So once again, the fiber of this closure over the diagonal point will be just the usual Schubert variety in the fine Grassmannian Gr lambda. Now, the determinant line bundle it lives on the whole Bellison-Driffield Grassmannian, and it is covariant with respect to these permutations. So it descends to a relatively ample determinant line bundle on our global Schubert variety. The action of our completed group also descends to the action of this partially symmetrized Schubert variety. And finally, if you remember what we started with on this slide, there is a homomorphism from the polynomial group to the global sections of this completed current group. So it acts via this homomorphism on the global sections on the global Schubert variety. Just I wonder if I have to stop in 25 minutes. It's absolutely fine with me not to stop.
Yeah, it would be good to take a break maybe now or in a couple minutes, whenever is a good time.
So then now it is a good time.
Okay, great. Questions.
Yeah, Misha, I have a
yes.
question.
Yes.
Is the implicit claim that these global Weyl modules are sections of a determinant line on a local semi-infinite flag manifold? Like, if we took an analytic model, should I be able to get these global Weyl modules?
Yes. So I said that there is this semi-infinite flag scheme. So it's lately studied in much detail by Shio Kato.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so in fact, the whole thing is rather in the scheme of infinite type, but it contains some sub-scheme of infinite type. Yes, so you understand what I am talking about.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then you take the global sections of line bundle over this scheme, and you get the dual global Weyl model.
I see.
And this may be called semi-infinite Borelvi theory.
Mm-hmm.
So it was proved by Braverman some 5 years ago or more. But this is something different. In particular, in the next slide, we'll see some dualization, and this dualization is different. So there are, so to say, two notions of dual global Weil modules.
I see.
So are you going to discuss the relation between that and this Borelvi on the Afanasiev-Grassmannian?
Unfortunately, I don't understand this relation. I would like to, but I have nothing to say, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there is some mystery there, but I don't understand.
Very, very naive question. So,
yes.
Usual De Mazur modules, I guess they can be realized as sections of a line bundle on the closure of a Schubert cell.
Oh, yes.
And so is there a global analog of, affine analog of that?
You mean for affine De Mazur modules?
Yes.
Oh, yes. And in fact, we even discussed this in the very beginning.
Right. So that's it's a way to think about this construction. Okay.
But this is local, I think. And now we're discussing the global analog.
Right. So there is also a global analog, which is what you are explaining.
Yes. So just the very next slide will be the global analog of this local theorem of yours.
Thanks.
I guess we can probably resume now. I think it's been 5 minutes. If you're ready, Misha, you can start again.
Okay. Okay. So on this slide, we have the definition of some global spherical Schubert varieties in the Berenson-Riffel-Grassmannian. In fact, there are more general global spherical Schubert varieties, namely these ones on this slide. They correspond to decomposition into fundamental coweights. In general, you can have decomposition into arbitrary coweights. But so far, we only just have the ones corresponding to decompositions into fundamental coweights. So away from all the diagonals, well, all the points are distinct. We have the products of fundamental Schubert varieties in the usual Fein-Grassmannians. And we're interested in the global sections of the determinant line bundle over these global Schubert varieties as modules over the polynomial current Lie algebra.
Sorry, Misha, can I ask a quick question? Sorry, going back to the previous slide. So this fact that the fiber over zero is actually Ger lambda and it's reduced.
Yes.
Is that that's a theorem of Shinran Zhu, or do you have some other easier argument in mind?
I think that this is actually a theorem of Fourier and Littleman.
Shinran
Zhu actually refers to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. But it uses these.
Yes,
unfortunately. It uses the stuff from before, basically. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. In fact, everything will somehow you use the fundamental work of Fourier and Littleman. All the arguments rest on this, unfortunately. For example, this very first claim of this theorem uses the full force of Fourier Littleman. So it says that the global sections of the determinant line bundle over this global Schubert variety is a free model over the functions on the base of this configuration space. Then we can consider the dual module. Then this admits an algebraic description. Namely, this is the cyclic product of fundamental local De Mazur modules spread out over the affine line. This cyclic product, we will call it the global De Mazur module. So once again, this global demesure model is dual to the global sections of the determinant line bundle, and dual in the sense that it's over the functions on the configuration space. Okay, in particular, if our Lie algebra is simply laced, then we know that this cyclic product is nothing but the global Weyl module, so it corresponds with the global demesure module. But this will not be true in the non-simply laced case. Okay, now we may be also interested in the higher level. And then for local demesure models, it is very straightforward. So the local demesure module of higher level R is just the cyclic rth power of the corresponding local demesure module at level one. Okay, similarly, if we consider the global sections of the of some power, rth power of the determinant line bundle over this global Schubert variety, then again it is a free module over the functions on configuration space, the dual module coincides with the global demesure module of higher level. That is nothing but the cyclic product of demesure modules over the higher level spread out over the affine line. So it's all very similar to the level one case. Okay. We will study the most general spherical Schubert varieties that are related not necessarily to decomposition into fundamental coweights, but into decomposition into arbitrary coweights. So they all appear as the closures of our completed current group in the generic fiber over the Bellinson-Riffel-Gersmanian. So we fix a decomposition of our dominant coweight into arbitrary sum of dominant coweights like this. Before I describe these more general global Schubert varieties, I will describe the base in the configuration space over that it will live. So I will need all the strata of the colored configuration space. So I will describe them in the following way. First of all, this decomposition of lambda into sum of dominant coweights gives rise to the addition morphisms from smaller configuration spaces, their product into a lambda. Then each of the factors contains the smallest diagonal stratum, the diagonal stratum, isomorphic to the affine line itself. Closed stratum in the colored configuration space is just the image of the product of these diagonals. There is a finite morphism, and this is the image of this finite morphism, closed stratum. But it is also a closed stratum in the configuration space, so we have a surjective morphism from the polynomial algebra of functions on this configuration space onto the functions on this stratum. And on the other hand, the function of this stratum is a subring in the ring of functions onto this affine space. Okay, so it is somehow squeezed in between two polynomial algebras. It can be described very explicitly inside this polynomial algebra. Namely, it is generated by some weighted power sums. Well, for example, in case of SL2, when all the lambdas are fundamental co-weights, then it will be just the usual power sums, and they will generate the usual symmetric polynomials. Okay. Now there's an interesting algebra of functions onto this on this stratum. So as you see, it's usually not normal, and on the other hand, it is often Cohen-Macaulay. So why the question about Cohen-Macaulayness is interesting? Because these algebras, just for SL2 case, they appeared in the work of Alexander Veselov and his collaborators on the quantum Kalajera-Moser-Sutherland integrable systems. Namely, these algebras arise as the algebras of integrals of motion. They're also called algebras of quasi-invariants. So they're not quite symmetric algebras, but up to some high order of vanishing at the diagonals. This Cohen-Macaulay property just means that this algebra of quasi-invariants is free over the algebra of invariants. Okay. Now, if I consider the local de Mazur modules and I spread them out over the fine line, and I take their cyclic product as I used to do in the fundamental case, then again, this cyclic product will be equipped with the commuting action of this big polynomial algebra, universal developing algebra of the Cartan current algebra. Again, the action of this big algebra will factor through the action of some finite functional dimension quotient. And this quotient will be nothing but the algebra we discussed on the previous slide. Okay, so it was always the polynomial algebra in the classical Fourier-Littlemann case, or when lambdas were fundamentals. But in general, this may be a rather complicated algebra, not polynomial anymore. Okay. Now I can finally formulate the notion of the most general spherical Schubert variety in the Bilesin-Rinfen-Grassmannian. Again, when the points are distinct, I place the arbitrary Schubert varieties over those points, and then I take the closure or fusion of them over the diagonals. So in particular, the diagonal fiber will be, again, the lambda, where lambda is the sum of those lambda i's. Now the corresponding Schubert variety will be just the base change of the previous Schubert variety to this closed stratum. Okay, so we discussed in the very beginning of this second part of my talk, we discussed the global Schubert varieties over the configuration space, and then I just restrict this Schubert variety to this closed stratum, and I obtain the most general partially symmetrized Schubert variety. Okay, so now it only remains to describe the global sections of the determinant line bundle over these Schubert varieties. It's very similar to what we had in the fundamental case, namely the global sections of the determinant line bundle, or in fact, any power thereof, again, is a free module over this funny algebra, the functions on the closed stratum. And the dual module over these functions is again the cyclic product of the local Demesur modules spread out over the affine line. That is by definition the global Demesur module of level R. If I'm interested in the sections over non-symmetrized Bilson-Dorenfeld-Grassmannian stratum, then they are just obtained by the Bayes change from this funny algebra to the polynomial algebra. And finally, it implies that the symmetrized global Schubert variety is just the projective spectrum of the direct sum of global Demesur modules over all levels. And I think this is all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Oh yeah, are there any questions for Misha?
Sorry, so why is it important that this is a free module? So how to think about this?
Well, otherwise we could not really take the dual to compute anything about it. For example, this way we can compute its character just as a product of the character, the zero fiber, that is local Demesur model, and the character of this algebra.
So, and then how can one, how does one prove that it is a free?
So we have to compare the dimensions at all the points. And this goes back to Fourier-Littleman, unfortunately. So it's some technical explicit computation using crystals. In fact, those models are also realized by Nakajima or Varagnola in the equivariant cohomology of quiver varieties. And then it is clear that they are free over the equivariant cohomology of the point.
Mm-hmm.
So, from this point of view, yes, it's clear geometrically, but then somehow you still have to identify this definition with the classical definition via generators and relations, and then you cannot avoid this argument of Fourier and Littleman. So it's really the base of everything.
And these Frobenius splitting methods, they don't help?
At least I don't know why. Maybe it does, but I just don't know. Maybe you can explain to me
how it works. Okay, maybe I just want to ask one question about the last statement D. So basically you gave a construction, kind of new construction of Bilson-Dorenfeld.
In a sense, yeah, if you want, yes.
If you
are satisfied by this definition of global Demesur modules as cyclic product, because it's not really by generators and relations, yeah? It's a sort of subquotient, right?
Mm-hmm.
You take it as a product which is given by explicit generators and relations, but then inside you take something which is generated by the cyclic, by the product of cyclic vectors. So you don't have explicit relations for this. So maybe
I wonder if there is a similar construction for other curves, for global Grassmannian for other curves. So this is just for
It's interesting, but I don't know. Say for elliptic curve, I don't know.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And there's a question from Yu Feng. Yes, could you please give an application of the global Demesur modules?
Well, I'm ashamed that I don't know such an application, but what is worse, I maybe don't really know application of the usual local Demesur modules. Maybe Fan can give me as an example an application of the usual local de Mazur modules? What is it considered as an application of them? Maybe again an explicit projective embedding of Shibut varieties, maybe this? I don't know.
I don't know.
Pardon me? Yes? I don't hear you.
I don't know even any application for the local domain node. So.
Okay.
And Oscar has a question. Do you want to go ahead and ask it, Oscar?
Okay, let me do that. So is there some analog of Xunwen's construction of this Frankel-Katz-Siegel isomorphism to a lattice vertex algebra in Scoble case?
Even over the curve A1.
Yeah, exactly. Like, can you do anything like that? Like, replace the sort of prefix points by some sort of global affine?
No. Somehow we are thinking about it, but not yet.
Okay.
I can say nothing useful at the time. Sorry.
Well, about the application of global de Mazur modules, I can say that they actually first appeared as. They are homogeneous components of the coordinate ring of the arc space of the Veronese curve. And that's for SL2. And more generally, if you consider a semi-infinite flag variety and embed it with respect to semi-infinite Plecker embedding, but then you can compose it with Veronese embedding. So it's embedding to some other big projective space, then the coordinate ring will be the sum of duals global de Mazur modules.
But that's for higher level, right? For higher level.
Yeah. If you take the Veronese curve of degree L, then you'll get global de Mazur modules of level L.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in particular, if you take just a constant map, which can be considered as Veronese a map of degree L, of degree 1, then you get global Weyl modules.
Thanks.
And Rekha Biswal has a question. Do you want to ask your question, Rekha Biswal?
Yeah, so in Pathb, the d of r, comma lambda bar, whatever you have written, that is tensor product, but that is true only when these de Mazur modules are actually coming from irreducible integrable modules of highest weight r times lambda naught, where lambda naught is the fundamental weight corresponding to the zeroth node. But is that a similar kind of result true for arbitrary de Mazur modules in level R integrable irreducible highest weight modules?
So
in part B of your theorem, you write that d of R comma lambda bar is equal to this fusion product of this d of r, dr lambda 1 up to dr lambda k, right? That is true only when these de Mazur modules are actually coming from irreducible integrable highest weight modules of level r, and the highest weight is r times lambda naught, where lambda naught is the fundamental weight corresponding to zero third. In fact, one can take lambda I, where lambda I is corresponds to the fundamental weight, corresponds to ith node, but not for arbitrary weight. So this equality which you have written, that is not true for arbitrary de Mazur module of level R, rather for very special.
No, you don't multiply the finite component lambda by R. You just take the level R, the generator K acts by R, but the finite Cartan acts by lambda. So it's... among the parabolic, among the spherical de Mazur modules, these are most general.
I think Misha, she's asking about non-spherical case, like when it's not.
I see. But
exactly. That's the question. Yes.
About non-spherical, I have nothing to say at the moment.
Yeah, because for spherical ones, this is the equality which you have written. That's very easy to see. But for non-spherical, it's not actually. This is not true. This that you cannot write it as tensor product or fusion product, whatever it is. So that's why I was wondering if similar kind of theorem can be written out for arbitrary Demoiselle models, not just spherical ones.
No, for arbitrary, I don't know.
And do you have any further speculation on the question I asked earlier about the relation between this and sections of line bundle on the semi-infinite flag variety?
No, somehow I'm confused because the duality is different. You see, the sections over semi-infinite is the dual global Weyl module, but dual in the different sense. It's not over this algebra A lambda, but just over complex numbers. So the global sections are rather different. So maybe, I don't know, you take the global sections over the semi-infinite manifold or the Bellinger-Dirichlet manifold, and then you dualize them in different sense, and they coincide. But before...
Right, maybe I should repeat that global de Mazur modules of higher level, they appear not as sections of some line bundles over semi-infinite flag variety, but as coordinate rings of semi-infinite flag variety if you embed it not just with respect to usual Drinfeld-Plucker embedding, but you compose this Drinfeld-Plucker embedding with the Veronese curve of degree L at each projective space. Then the coordinate ring of these embedding is precisely the sum of global de Mazur modules of level L, where L is the degree of the Veronese curve. And dual with respect to C, not with just numbers, not with respect to this highest weight algebra. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what I was saying was only for level one.
Are there any other questions for Misha?
Well, I have a question. So higher level is any relation of global session and the T-fixed point, the group's T-fixed point scheme in high level?
No, I not that I know of. I mean, just for projective space, yeah? If you take, say, O of 1, then when you restrict to the T fixed points on the projective space, then it's an isomorphism. But if you take O of 2, then it is not. And what is the relation? I have no idea. I don't know any relation whatsoever, unfortunately.
Yeah, let's thank Misha again.
Thank you.